Today, the season of Easter reaches its culmination in this Feast of Pentecost. The season of Easter, as we know, is bookended by two great festivals: the celebration of Easter itself, and now, 50 days later, this celebration of Pentecost. And as we look at this 50-day period between these two great events in our Christian lives, we see a theme that unites them together. And that theme is actually a place. It's the upper room. And I think reflecting on that upper room this morning on this Feast of Pentecost can help us understand what this feast says to us in our own discipleship and what this season of Easter says to us as well. The upper room, if you remember, is the place in Jerusalem where Jesus celebrated the Last Supper with the apostles. And after the crucifixion, the apostles return there. It becomes their headquarters, so to speak. Long before there were churches or rectories or a Vatican in Rome, the church was headquartered in that upper room. And that upper room, of course, we know was a place of fear. We heard about that at the very beginning of today's gospel. It was a place of waiting. It was a place they went to for 50 days. But it was also a place of encounter. A place of encounter with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at these three aspects of the upper room and then ask us the question, what do they have to do with me? First, fear. The gospel opens up tonight saying that the disciples, the apostles, were locked behind the door of that upper room. What were they afraid of? Well, they were probably afraid of a number of things. They were probably afraid that perhaps what happened to Jesus was going to happen to them, that the Lord's enemies would come after his followers. This is Easter Sunday night, so already Peter and John have seen the risen Lord. The women have come and said that he's no longer in the tomb, that they've seen him. But yet they're still afraid. Maybe they think that Jesus has come back to exact revenge on them. After all of them but John fled at the crucifixion. Maybe they're afraid about what's going to happen next. They had spent 3 years following after this man they thought was the Messiah, and he faced a rather ignominious end. What's going to happen to them now? They're afraid, so they hide behind these locked doors. And then they're there. The upper room is a place of waiting. As a matter of fact, Jesus, last Sunday in the gospel, we heard before he ascended into heaven, he tells them specifically to go back to Jerusalem and to await the promise of the Holy Spirit. So they go back to that place where they feel comfortable. They go back to their headquarters and they sit there and wait. They wait for the promised coming of the Holy Spirit. And then lastly, that upper room is a place of encounter. The first encounter happens on the Last Supper, when Jesus celebrates the Eucharist with them, where he gives them his body and blood in the Holy Communion. But then it becomes, as we heard in the first reading today, an encounter with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. So we ask ourselves the question this morning, where are our upper rooms? Where are our places of fear or waiting? Of encounter with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Where are our upper rooms? The upper room probably is not an actual place. Rather, it's a symbol. Perhaps it's something that we fear. Perhaps it's something that we all have that have come into our lives. We all have fears. And when we're afraid, we have a tendency to hunker down and to hide and to lock that proverbial door and move ourselves away from our fear. But did you notice in the gospel that we just heard, what was the greeting of the risen Jesus? He walked through that lock in that door. And what does he say? He says, "Peace be with you." Every time the risen Jesus appears to the apostles after the resurrection, his greeting is a greeting of peace. Peace be with you. Because where God is, fear cannot be. God is the opposite of our fears. Jesus wants to come into those places of our fear and speak his peace to us. He wants us to know that he's there with us. He wants us to know that he's not there to exact revenge, but rather he gives a greeting of peace. So when we are in our upper rooms, perhaps we're there because of fear, do we realize that Jesus has the power to walk through that locked door and that his greeting is always one of peace? Maybe your upper room is a place of waiting. Maybe something that you've been praying for a very long time, and God doesn't seem to be listening. Maybe it's a situation in your life that just won't seem to change, won't seem to budge. Maybe it's waiting for something to happen in your life of faith. We all sometimes feel stagnant in our lives of faith, and we kind of get stuck and wait. The upper room can be a place of all of these things. And when Jesus walks into the upper room after he greets, this gives this greeting of peace, what else does he do? He shows the apostles his hands and his side. He shows them the wounds of the crucifixion. The resurrection does not erase those wounds, but rather they confirm them in Jesus. Those wounds remind us that God is faithful, that even when we have to wait, when he asks us to wait, he still hears. He's still aware of every single thing that we need and is going on in our lives. God is faithful to his promises. Jesus' wounds remind us that God was faithful to his promise to save humanity, going all the way back to the Garden of Eden, to Adam and Eve. He promised that he would come to save us. Think about that 2,000 years of waiting. And that waiting comes to its fulfillment on the cross when Jesus offers himself. And so he shows them those wounds to remind them that he is indeed faithful. And when we find ourselves waiting for God to act, maybe we should take a look at the cross and remember the faithfulness of God. And finally, all of our upper rooms are meant to be places of encounter. That upper room, yes, they were afraid. Yes, they were waiting. But it was also a place where they came to meet Jesus and to meet the Holy Spirit. In our upper rooms, Jesus wants to meet us also in the Holy Eucharist. The Holy Eucharist is the presence of Jesus with us always. A reminder, as he said, yes, last Sunday in the gospel, that he's with us always until the end of the age. The Eucharist is the assurance of that. So every time we come to church to celebrate the Mass, Jesus reassures us of his presence with us. That bread and wine become his body and blood and his soul and divinity. And he gives it to us as our food to remind us that he's with us. He's with us in our fears. He's with us in our waiting. And then the upper room is a place where they encounter the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, there's this spectacular scene of the wind and the flames that come down on them. And then what happens? They go out. They're no longer in the upper room because they've encountered the person of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit impels them to go out and to encounter the world. We hear that there are people from all over the world who are in Jerusalem because of the feast. And they hear the apostles speaking to them in their own tongue. That mission of going out to make known the good news has not stopped. The mission continues. It's for everyone. It's for those who have not heard the good news. It's for those who have stopped practicing their faith. It's for those who struggle in their faith. It's for all of us. And the Holy Spirit, once we encounter that Holy Spirit in our own upper rooms, impels each and every one of us to go out and to give witness. To give witness to who Jesus is and what he means in my life. There's also in that upper room the presence of someone else who is very special. And we need to recognize her presence there. And that's the Blessed Mother. Our Blessed Mother Mary. She's there, we hear, on that first Pentecost in that upper room. She's there with the kernel church at its very beginning, praying and awaiting the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so Mary is in each of our upper rooms as well. And that's a great reminder to us of her presence, her maternal presence with us, that she wants to be with us in our fears, in our waiting, in all of these encounters, to remind us that she's there to pray for us, to intercede for us, and to shed many graces upon us. So I'd encourage you to remember her presence with you in all of the upper rooms. This morning, in the sequence that accompanied the Liturgy of the Word, we heard, "Come, Holy Spirit, come, and from your celestial home shed a ray of light divine." Yes, Holy Spirit, come shed your divine light into all of our upper rooms.